Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Welcome back, Wisconsin Sports Daily, here on 1250 AM The Fancy. Sparky Pfeiffer with you, being joined now as we eye up the enemy by Spike Eskin, a co-host of Afternoons on WIP down in Philadelphia, the flamethrower down in Philly. Spike, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, man.
Follow Spike on Twitter, obviously, at Spike Eskin. So I'm curious to see what everybody's thoughts are on this Packers-Philly game going to Brazil. I mean, all of these reports of players being told not to leave the hotels and stay in their hotel. I mean, what has the NFL got these guys into going to Brazil at this point? And it sounds like a lot of media aren't going to cover the game either.
Well, there's media down there, but their inability to use Twitter all of a sudden has, I think, sort of limited their limited the scope of what their value is down there. I really don't know with what they've told the players. I think they've told the players this because they have a lot less control over some incident in South America than they would up here. You know, if there ends up being some sort of a conflict between a player and somebody else, or there's some sort of legal issue, they're going to have a lot bigger problem on their hands than they would up here. We have our reporter down there, Elliot Shore Parks, and he doesn't seem to think that there's any issue at all. At least, like, he feels safe, thinks it's beautiful, people are nice, lots of fans down there. So I think there's a little bit of the unknown, and I think on some level the teams are just trying to get down there, play the game, and get everybody back without having to worry about anything.
Yeah, he got some flack from Packer fans tweeting out that on his plane to Brazil there was a lot of "Let's go Eagle" chants, and everybody pointed out, well, you're leaving from Philly. What did you think was going to be on that plane?
Yeah, right.
Kind of going forward. Yeah. I like Elliot Shore Parks. Yeah. I've had him on many a times before, but it was funny, the Packer fans' response to his tweet. I want to talk a little bit about Nick Sirianni. Outsider looking in, I thought when all of this went down with coordinator changes last year that they pretty much told him he pretty much had a clean house if he wanted to keep his job. Is that what happened, or did it go a different way?
No, I mean, I think it was pretty clear. I mean, the same thing happened with Doug Peterson, except Doug wouldn't do it, and then Doug ended up not being the coach of the Eagles anymore. So I think it was pretty clear they were going to fire the coordinators, and I don't think Nick Sirianni is established enough yet to say no. And I think he probably recognized they needed 2 better coordinators than they had. So I think it was a necessary situation for them to fire the coordinators. I'm sure they asked Nick what he thought, but I don't think this was a situation where Nick hired the coordinators either. I'm pretty certain that was Howie Roseman and Jeff Lurie doing that.
And that would make sense, obviously. The one thing I preach here is Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, really, were all blessed by having the same play callers for a majority of their career, because those ended up being head coaches for the most part, right? So McCarthy and then LaFleur there for a couple of years for Rodgers, and now Jordan Love gets LaFleur, and there's no reason to think he's going anywhere. Well, with Sirianni, they bring in Kellen Moore now, but everybody points to Shane Steichen leaving and going to Indy, and then Jalen Hurts essentially regressing a little bit. So was that more about Steichen not being there, or did something else happen with Jalen Hurts as far as why he regressed?
I think it was probably a little bit of everything. You know, I don't think Brian Johnson, who was the offensive coordinator last year, was he had never been one before. He also had a very close previous relationship with Jalen Hurts. And I think part of the issue was there was sort of some, what's the word I'm looking for? Protective is the wrong word. I think there was a little bit of a conflict and a little bit of a disagreement. Maybe little is underselling it, between Jalen, Brian Johnson, Nick Sirianni. And I think at, you know, Steichen was a really good offensive coordinator that they just, I don't think Brian Johnson was in a position to improve. And I think the one thing that was a little disappointing, which sort of makes you question Sirianni's future, is that Sirianni just didn't seem to help in that. You know, Sirianni was involved in that, but it was his offensive play calling that I don't think Hurts liked all that much. So I don't think Hurts wanted Sirianni involved. I don't think Brian Johnson could tell him. I don't think he had the, you know, the pull to make sure that that happened. So I think that is part of it as well. And I also think there's a little bit of a, there's a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover with Hurts. I think there's a little bit of the league sort of knowing his tendencies better the next year than they did the year before. And I also, and I'm not like a huge Hurts guy or whatever, but when you look at the season as a whole last year, the team failed pretty badly in the last 6 or 7 weeks, but his season was not particularly bad, I don't think. When you go to before the slide, he was right up there. He was top two or top three in MVP odds up until that point. So so they have a professional offensive coordinator now. They've pretty much told Nick Sirianni to stay out of that, and I think he is largely. So I don't think that Jalen Hurts will have those same sort of excuses that he had last year.
The crazy thing is, I mean, I don't know how people view Kellen Moore in Philadelphia. I've never been the biggest of fans of Kellen Moore. You know, when he was with the Chargers, it was like, oh, they're going to throw the ball downfield more. It's going to be this explosive offense. That really never ended up being what ended up happening. What's that dynamic now with Kellen Moore, especially if Sirianni wasn't involved in hiring him, Sirianni and Jalen Hurts?
Well, we'll see, right? I mean, Hurts made a couple of comments during training camp that I think raised everyone's eyebrows that were maybe not quite as supportive of Sirianni as you would hope. It's a very strange situation, you know. I think it's a little on both of them. It's a little on Sirianni and a little on Hurts. Sirianni is a pretty fiery, loud guy, and I don't get the sense that that is what Jalen Hurts likes or feels like dealing with. But you also wonder how much respect he has for the guy at this point. I'm talking about Hurts for Sirianni. When you look,
you sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Look into a couple of the comments when you look into the reports of what was going wrong last year. So, you know, I think this, like many situations like this, will only be tested when there's trouble. If they go out and beat the Packers, I don't know, 37-23, and Jalen Hurts looks great, I don't think there will be very much of a test of how that dynamic is. But I think if there's trouble and we see Sirianni want to get more involved with the offense and become a louder voice in the room, I think that's when we'll really see what that working relationship is like this year.
Talking with Spike Eskin, WIP in Philadelphia, does afternoons there. Follow him on Twitter at Spike Eskin. Let's talk a little bit about Saquon Barkley and how that all came about. We got to see it with Hard Knocks with the Giants, how that whole negotiation worked between him and the Giants. How big of a shock factor was there when it came down that he was coming to the Eagles?
It was a huge shock, I think. Now, my co-host had mentioned it a couple of times, Ike Reese, that he thought they should pursue Saquon. But, you know, I think it's not rare for people to think that spending a lot of resources on a running back is not a current NFL thing to do. And I think that Howie Roseman and the Eagles front office has usually been looked at as pretty smart as to where they spend their money. So the fact that they invested, it was the second biggest contract they handed out to a free agent. The first one was Bryce Huff. I think, and the biggest running back contract, I think, for a free agent. I think everybody was really surprised. I'm reasonably optimistic about Barkley. I came back to Philly, I spent the last 3 years in New York at the home of the Giants. So I watched a lot of Saquon, and when he is healthy, he is a pretty outrageous guy to watch. I mean, he is a big play running back. He is much faster than you think when you actually get to see him. So if they're able to use him the right way and not, I think, overuse him because he has had some injury problems, I think he'll be great. But it was, very, very surprising overall that they spent those sort of resources on a running back.
Offensively, should be one of the best in the league. Then you bring in Vic Fangio to do the defense, and everybody loves them some Vic Fangio. Everybody wants Vic Fangio to be in charge of their defense. A lot of draft capital spent on that defense over the last couple of years by Howie Roseman. What are expectations there with Fangio?
I think everybody would hope for respectable. The defense was so bad down the stretch last year that I think this year, I mean, we're talking about like worst in the league sort of defense. I think if Fangio was able to get them to mid-pack, you know, somewhere in the 14 to 18 range, with what they expect out of the offense, especially if the defense gets better as the season goes on, I think everybody would be really happy with that. But for all the draft capital they've spent, and you're right, they've spent a lot, there are still a lot of question marks about the players they spent that draft capital on. Jalen Carter, I think everyone's reasonably optimistic about and was really good for the first half of last year. But Jordan Davis, I think there are a lot of questions about. Nolan Smith looks like a complete bust. So it looks like Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback they drafted in the first round this year, is probably going to start opposite Darius Slay. So optimistic about him. But they have spent a lot of draft capital, and there's still a lot of questions pretty much at every level of the Eagles defense from a personnel standpoint.
Spike, from the Packers' perspective, the talking points this offseason was who's going to be the kicker? And after having the same kickers throughout the entire training camp, they cut all of them and brought in undrafted rookie out of Tennessee from the Titans. They got him, so he's coming in, Arvidsson. Then it was the backup quarterback position. They trade for Malik Willis. Not too sure anybody's excited about that. And then it was Jeff Hafley's new defense and just how good it would be. And I will tell you from being here that, you know, expectations for them are we'd like to have a top five defense to go along with a really good Packers offense in this thing. For you guys in Philly going into this game against Packers, what are the keys to victory as far as how you're looking at this?
Well, keys to an Eagles victory?
Correct.
I don't allow 40 points.
That's a good one.
So the two things to look out for from an Eagles standpoint are, one, how the offense performs against the blitz. Post the 49ers game last year, just about every team blitzed the hell out of the Eagles, and they did a really, really poor job of handling it. Hurts has spoken about how that was largely Jason Kelsey's responsibility. Why he said that, I don't know, but that's what he said. But that will largely fall on him, Jalen Hurts, and Cam Jurgens, who is the new center. So I think how they perform against the blitz, and I would guess that the Green Bay will test them on that very early. So if they're able to, and they were very good against the blitz in 22, and really bad against the blitz in 23. So I think the first thing is being able to handle that. And I think the second thing is from a defensive standpoint, if the Eagles can't get any pressure, then they're going to be in trouble. I mean, that is largely the problem last year, is that Josh Sweat, one of their ends, sort of disappeared toward the end of last year. Hassan Reddick was chasing stats. And then it's Josh Sweat again at one edge, and the other one is Bryce Huff, who basically played half the snaps for the Jets last year because he couldn't play against the run. So I think the two keys for the Eagles will be getting pressure on the quarterback and being able to handle the blitz on offense. And if they can do a reasonable job of both of those, I'd be pretty optimistic about the Eagles this weekend.
That Hassan Reddick deal with the Jets really worked out well for New York, didn't it? My goodness.
Oh, man.
I mean, seriously.
What a disaster, man. I mean, like, how do you trade for a guy and not already have an understanding about how it's going to work? The guy obviously wanted a contract, which is why the Eagles traded him. Now, who knows? Maybe the Reddick and his agent reneged on what they said, but What is a disaster? Very Jets. Very Jetsy.
Very Jetsy. Yes, absolutely. Spike Eskin, WIP Afternoons co-host there. Follow him on Twitter at Spike Eskin. Continue on after this. Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM. The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.